Shalom lachem, toda she'atem itanu.
Hello, thank you for being with us here, the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Tal, I'm telling you, whoever hasn't met her on our channel, Tal Mandelbaum is a student, master's student in the Bar-Ilan University, dealing a lot with research regarding happiness, relations between people. That's why she's here with us today. And there will be lots of exciting and fascinating things to hear from her, I promise. Rav Lightman, we decided today, because Tal is joining our New Life series, we're going to investigate the subject of happiness in depth. It's an issue people deal with in Israel and all over the world. People are searching for happiness. They're really investigating this in a scientific manner. And we want to verify this with you. Each time we're going to take a different aspect of happiness. And for the first discussion, we want to take an bird's eye view. And we want to understand emotionally, as close as possible to our heart, what is happiness. Tal, please take us into this discussion. Really, there's no question about it that we're all looking for happiness, a little bit of happiness, even a lot. But we don't always know how to define what happiness is and how to reach it. And we see that in the last years, there's been many approaches developed, positive psychology, the science of happiness. But with all the abundance of research, we still see that there's trends of depression that are growing in the world, and happiness is slipping between our fingers in the meantime. So we'd really like to hear about your approach to happiness. And I'd like to start from this place, this innocent place where we all grow up and we hear about all kinds of legends and stories, and they lived in happiness, happily ever after. In English, it's like forever after. They promise us some eternal happiness, and everyone has this expectation inside that in this life they'll be able to experience it, but we're still disappointed that we don't experience it. Our life is a lot less than a fairy tale. So where does this myth come from of happiness? Why did humanity develop these myths that we live with? If we speak briefly, so it's clear that our nature is to enjoy, to receive the pleasure, apparently. And therefore, we run after happiness. It depends on each and every generation what the pleasure is that they're seeking. Sometimes it's to go off for a few months and be happy. But a family, kids, society, he had a lot, just food was missing, and then the opposite happened. There were other problems in other eras. We had freedom, not to be a slave, maybe. And prior to that, the slave could have been happy, because then I don't have to think about food. I'm happy already. And then I don't care about food, but rather my desires changed. It went up a degree. That's called evolution, that we're not just living like animals, but we're in our desire, in a desire to receive, a desire to be happy, and each time in a different manner, at a more and more advanced stage, a higher quality stage. Therefore, it works out that my happiness cannot be measured in food or freedom in the family, in my profession, control, the amount of money that I have, how respectful it makes me compared to other people, my pride. The more that humanity develops more, the more and more it is getting further away from the understanding of happiness, the way creatures look at it, and the way people look at it. This is how we develop. Until we reach a state where we are truly nowadays in a situation where more or less what a person has, people never had that before. and no one's happy. That's what's amazing. If I'm on all kinds of continents and countries and villages and cities, I'm going through all kinds of places in the world. Oh, I go all over the world and meet all kinds of places. The integral education makes us leave home and go out and meet the whole world. People are saying that people are starving. But that's a certain place that people are suffering from having a rooftop. That's also certain places. When I go to all kinds of places, I meet most of the people I meet are millions, even billions, that have those things. It wasn't like that in previous generations. And at least in those same places, say Africa, China, all kinds of places in South America, even where they're missing today, in previous generations they were missing a lot more. And in previous generations they were happier compared to today, where they have more, even though they're missing a little bit and they're not happy. And in the developed countries, there's nothing to talk about at all. There's a feeling of lacking, lacking, lacking. Where's the happiness? Happiness? People are just getting depressed. They're swallowing all kinds of medication. Let them drink something. Let them get some adrenaline, something going to fire themselves up, to get the engine going inside. There's many places in the world where a person doesn't need to work. He gets in Europe, in America. You get unemployment, you get health care. Do what you want to do. The whole world is in front of you from now until the end of your life. You no longer even have to look at life like at this war and struggle. And they're not happy. And here we reach a very special question, interesting question. It's not enough for me not to be happy, and it's not enough that it appears to me that I can be happy from something if I get this or this or that. But even if I receive what I want and feel this happiness for one moment, and it disappears, and I can't grab it and hold on to it. Today we can't give examples with cigarettes. It's not nice to do on TV. But let's say I like ice cream, even at my age. I have this weakness for ice cream. So I reach a stage where once in a while I really get ice cream. And now I was traveling with my grandchildren, and we bought for everyone, including Grandpa. And I feel pleasure and pleasure and pleasure, and this pleasure is over at some point. The happiness goes. And I can, from the morning, wait for this ice cream half a day. And afterward, when I start to taste it, a minute or two, 5 minutes later at the most, and the pleasure is gone. Where's the pleasure? And happiness, the more complicated it is, the higher it is, the more qualitative it is, it's more dependent. It's dependent on me and my relations with other people, with my environment. Many, many conditions, that if these conditions, even one of them disappears, the feeling of happiness disappears. With that same ice cream, I can taste it and suddenly will say half a word to me and that's it. Where's the pleasure? Where's the happiness? It's over. Just the opposite. In other words, the feeling of happiness is dependent, on one hand, on a lacking in desire, in hunger, appetite, yearning, that I prepare for this thing that's giving me filling, that this filling is called happiness, that this happiness will really be according to the lacking that I built. Which lacking? In the desire, the yearning. This hunger for it, this anticipation of it, that they will suit each other, the lacking and the filling. And the main thing is that they won't just be lacking and filling, because after 5 minutes, like with the ice cream, I stop feeling pleasure, because the filling is lacking what's missing, and I no longer want anymore. We know this about everything: food, family, money, everything. I have to each time renew the deficiencies, the yearnings, the anticipations from different sources. And each time I know in advance that it will almost disappear, and people today, even with true love, that they want to get married and connect to each other. Let's say there are such things. But they already know in advance that this thing is, it could stop after 2 or 3 or 4 years. They say 4 years today is the maximum you can maintain relations between people, because we stop today very quickly enjoying one another. Even if our pleasure is not sexual, but from the person's character, from the food I get from him, the way they embrace me, anything, it still ends after a number of years. What tool do we have today, the tool that we won't build for ourselves today for receiving pleasure, whatever it is, this vessel, this tool will be finished very quickly. We're changing very quickly. We're living in our lives many types of lives, what we didn't have before. Because if we see people's development, we're developing exponentially in a curve like this. That's really. And so it turns out that today we're living 80 years or more, and also in this life, we're going through many changes. With ourselves, with our children, our grandchildren, of course, it's no wonder that we want to, apparently in accordance with that, to start new life. That if we get married at the age of 25 or 30, which is amazing in itself, but let's say then 10 or 15 years we're divorced, and that's considered normal. Everyone looks at it as normal. And then again, we start over. So we see that even with these big issues that is caused to us by divorce and new life and kids and all our problems of home and savings and everything, still we're not capable of continuing in the previous situation. We want happiness, and we're not capable of attaining it. It's like some evil form is coming inside, and it's eating you up inside and ruining your life. The search for happiness, the continued search, it's the renewed search after all kinds of different dress, the different forms of happiness, food, sex, family, children, travels, and I go onto the internet, I have the whole world there, and take it and enjoy it. And along with that, people are listening. We feel on ourselves as well how much they're in desperation, how much this desperation is the plague of our generation, and nothing will help. We're looking for adrenaline. We want to be in some kind of, we want to have some kind of action. What gives us this excitement, the feeling of lacking, that maybe some kind of filling will come afterwards? We understand that even a lacking to be happy, we need to buy. That's exactly a sign of desperation. It's not desperation that I'm upset from not attaining anything, because you can attain anything today. You buy a ticket to space. Finally, that's also available. If we're talking about Israel, 2 million, a million, a lot. Every second person, second or third person goes abroad. Well, what don't we do? Everyone has tons of options. We see that there's no deficiency, there's no desire, yearning. There's no yearning to enjoy, and that's why we're in desperation. And this depression is the greatest problem, the greatest issue for our generation. And if we're talking about happiness, then first of all, we need to speak about the deficiency for happiness, that I'll know exactly what I can be happy from. I'm sitting, I'm bored at home. Maybe you'll do this, I don't want to. Maybe do this. What will it give me? No, there's no point. A person doesn't even feel that there are sources of happiness. They can't. And that's first and foremost the biggest problem. Before, how to reach it, because the lacking, the deficiency, the yearning for happiness that's understood well to a person, that's defined well, is before everything else. Really, there's many people. We see a lacking for happiness that's called muza in the highest levels, some inspiration that I'm on fire, that I'm yearning, that I'm on fire inside, I'm totally alive. That's why we hear people saying that they're in a drawing or sculpting or creating music or some creative work, how much it works on them well. How we're jealous of athletes. They have a goal, there's an Olympic Games, he has to, he's completely, totally living for that. A person has some star in the sky that he's yearning for, but most people aren't, and they're even tired of looking for it. Maybe I can go to a course and they'll teach us. Maybe I'll go into some society where there's some abstract idea. Some people develop love for dogs. Maybe it'll give me some feeling, some occupation will soften me a bit. It will fill me slightly. That's a big problem. And we need to understand that this problem is going to get bigger. It will grow. It will take up more and more place in the world, in its power and in the way it distributes throughout humanity, the way it spreads. Humanity is more and more desperate and won't know how to define what happiness is. And it will know that it's something lacking and important, but they'll be despaired from reaching even a lacking for it. To such an extent, it will be something very far and unrealistic, and they won't even feel a lacking for lacking happiness. And all this, for what? For us to, after the despair and the general total despair from all sides, also from finding happiness, reaching happiness, even having a deficiency for happiness, that's what keeps us alive. That's where the adrenaline is that I'm missing it, that I'm in a search, that I'm looking for it. how a person falls in love. When he has it already, everything goes switches off. But when he's in this yearning for love, he's on fire. People used to pay a lot of money and put a lot of energy into having this adrenaline, this feeling, this attraction. So we need to, in the near future, we need to reach a situation where all of humanity will discover that they are in a fog. They won't understand what happiness is, what a lacking for happiness is. They're in a wilderness. They won't have this adrenaline. Against this action, you have something else. Action and pain. And if it's not like that, some people are not on fire like this, then at least somehow in a calm way, but something has to need to change inside them. If a person doesn't feel these changes, and being in these situations of action and pain, he'll go down to the level of an animal that lives, a creature that lives, doesn't feel these changes, but for them, everything's normal. The demand for action and pain has brought us to develop up to where we are now. We're right now at the peak of our development, and here, therefore, we feel that we reached some height, and we stopped, and we're beginning to go down in the feeling of life at the end of the day. Because to feel that I'm missing the desire to live, to fill my life with something, that's called to stop living, to stop existing. So I get up, I have a few calories every day, I don't even have taste in that. I don't really have anything to do, or I have something to do. It's even worse because I have obligations and all kinds of things. And this is how I end my life. A person is beginning to see that there's no point in life. And that when he begins to discover, actually discover that there's no point to life, because everything's sold, a sold story, government, business, the economic system, everything managing his life, how they're putting one over on us and directing us in any way they want. How we can't find a common language with our partner, with our kids. I'm despaired from my whole existence, meaning the feeling of life. What is the point of life? Some people really yearn to go up mountains and find something. But we see from year to year these things are going down, and according to the amount of medication for calming people down, it's not that I'm in action and I have to calm myself down, but I have to calm myself not to feel so much this inner pain, this wilderness inside that's filling me. Antidepressants that we're using more and more from year to year. In other words, we're reaching according to our development, according to our evolution. Like a researcher looking in an objective manner on humanity, I see that we're advancing to the question, what's the point of our life? Each person according to his standard, how he's developed by nature, according to his attributes that he has from nature, but everyone is reaching that. The more that we try, to implement, maybe we want to change profession, we want to look for something on the internet. It's an entire industry. To move somewhere, nothing will help. At the end of the day, we travel the whole world, we see that it's the same thing everywhere. At the end of the day, the general trend of all of humanity, it's at hand for everyone, in everyone's reach. The question isn't even about happiness. How to carry through life so that I'll have the strength to do it. Because even according to situations where there's suicide and drugs and all these antidepressants, all these things, I see that we're in some kind of descent, downfall, that humanity is losing the taste of life. Therefore, the question is, we've reached some dark place. And on the one hand, we're not living, and on the other hand, we're not dying. And we know that nature is always pushing us and managing us towards some kind of development by awakening in us a new desire, a new need. Here we apparently haven't reached this new desire, this new need, where it needs to be revealed after the revelation of the question, why are we living? What are we living for? These questions that are truly eternal questions, but our generation that has these is faced with this eternal question cannot give an answer. They're still in some kind of place or transition at some point that's a turning point, but it hasn't turned over yet, so that we'll see the other side of this despair, what it's giving birth to. That's our situation in the meantime. It's very interesting, this situation, that not everyone feels the same thing. There's lots of people that treat this depression as a type of spoilness. Why don't you enjoy the little things, the simple things in life? Look at the flowers. They try to persuade a person that doesn't feel pleasure that he can enjoy what there is. If he just looked at everything that there is, he would enjoy. So what is this approach? A person who's happy with what he has can be happy compared to others, but let's say it's a temporary medicine that stops working. There's medicines that you get used to and they stop working. These means, and it's also this type of thing. There's people that are dealing with, they buy a bicycle or a motorbike, or they go on trips, or they go fishing. It's like collecting stamps and making an album. They don't really fill a person. They feel that it's worth it to do it because there's nothing else. But why do we develop sports so much? Football, everyone goes crazy, and governments fully supported, and they build huge stadiums and football fields. Why? To give a person some motivation or to participate in it himself in the sport. I live in a neighborhood, in an expensive neighborhood, where on Friday, Saturday, thousands and thousands of people leave the house on by bike to all kinds of places. And they develop those sidewalks specially for that. And they go out, entire families, by bike. And that's in the meantime. It's also in the meantime. Just like all these hobbies and occupations, it's a passing thing, and not a lot will be left of it. But truly, and you as a psychologist, you know that we need to work with what we have today and not see it in a philosophical manner. Psychology, compared to, it deals with what we have here and now and attempts to help people to somehow balance themselves and find, if not happiness, then some type of small taste in what they're doing at each point in life. And the wider philosophical viewpoint, what should we call it, that's already, those are very significant questions. Where is nature leading us? And what will happen to man if we don't, in other words, not to look over the horizon, but what we have today truly is a person who is happy with what he has. Happiness is being happy at every moment in life, but at least in an artificial manner bring ourselves to this. It's good, and here we need to use society, because a person is a result of the society. If the society that I'm in raises, even in an official artificial manner, some idea and respects it, let's say to be a bicycle rider, or to be in some football team or something else, and they're respected, the people that are doing it, then I feel that I want to be connected to it. I want people to respect me. Because still, jealousy, etc., lust are people that take people out of their world. So through this environment, whether I like it or not, I desire those same values that they have. And a person can't prevent this. If I've gone into some place or some country or I'm in some other place and I look where everyone goes, I also want to go there. I want to wear the same thing, and the way I look, etc. The psychologists use this support from the environment. It gives a person, let's say, time to breathe, to continue being alive a little bit more. But he won't be able to continue it for a long time. How would you define, this is just to make sure that it's not a goal. He has to check all his desires, all his sources, all his means, and say nothing is worth it. And this nothing, then society can help him with each time bringing him to, motivating him through all things, and there's no end to it. But there is an end to it, because we're not just here to get pleasures from society, but rather society is developing also, and then everything will end. If you want to define in general the profile of a happy person, not a specific person, but a model, a happy person, can you define that person? What a happy person is? And that's why I'm positive in advance that these people are the only people in humanity. A happy person is someone who has a deficiency. Maybe it's a technical term. Desire, yearning, this anticipation, this pain inside, these are the means of the deficiency. They're little parts of it. they are part of the, sorry, the deficiency includes all those things. The distress, this deficiency has to be developing. I have to always be increasing the desire, the hunger, the yearning, the anticipation, to always be in a state of anticipation. If I fill it with something, then I remain empty. It always has to be on the rise. There has to be a deficiency that I won't be able to put down, to neutralize with the receiving some type of happiness, any happiness. In other words, the feeling of happiness that won't disappear is that I'm filling myself and my deficiency in that doesn't disappear, isn't put out, isn't filled. Is it possible? If I get ice cream, I eat ice cream, and that's it. After a while that I filled myself with these tastes that I wanted to fill myself with, it disappears. I'm looking for something else. Maybe I'll drink something. Maybe I'll take something else. Afterwards, I'm tired, I'll go to sleep. In other words, I have to build for myself always sources where I'm going to acquire the deficiency from. How many people use money to attain a deficiency for sex, for appetite, for food, for love, for family, for children, for everything? It's an entire industry. What do I want to say? A happy person, like you asked me to define, is a person that has a constant increasing deficiency, and he has the ability to fill it in accordance with how this deficiency is always felt in him in a non-stop way, meaning it's two opposite things. How I can do this? And here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you want a solution right away, or should I draw it out a little bit? Whatever you want. First of all, explain. What does it mean that it's opposite things? I can tell you what a happy person is, what's considered a happy person, a person who succeeds, gets respect, has social ties, economic ability, can do what he wants. This is what gives people motivation to achieve things in life. But it turns out that these things don't really make you happy. We see by the results. The moment a person has it, until he achieves, what did you say? Economic success, he can do whatever he wants in his life. Until he doesn't attain it, did he have anything to live for? And the minute he achieves it, he has nothing to live for. So the question is like this: are we living from the adrenaline, from the action, or living from the pain that afterward puts the action out and we're left empty? So there was research that showed that when people are planning their vacation, their happiness level was really high from the anticipation, their anticipation, and afterward it went back down to the same level. I know how even I went out the first time on travels abroad, etc. For me it was another 20 days. I remember I used to go to the beach as a child. I used to count. I remember how excited I was. I was 9, I think. What do I want to say? It's all from anticipation, the lacking. It has to be there all the time. It shouldn't go out. It shouldn't disappear. No one should put it out. Or someone from the side. I have to maintain my hunger. For me, it's the holiest thing. We see that the more we make an effort, like giving birth, there's a lot of pain and effort, but also the greatest amount of happiness. Happiness is measured according to deficiency. That's what you said. Meaning we need to develop a lacking, not to wait for it to be turned off. We need to know how to make it even greater, go around the table with the good food until you truly have the correct desire for it, so that you'll get everything, the maximum taste out of everything, and that you're not just swallowing it and it becomes... and that you didn't taste anything. We need to understand that there's a special technique how to discover happiness, that the deficiency has to be as great as possible in size. It has to be complex. It has to be made up. It has to be ready to taste all kinds of fillings according to their size. And this is why we say the French cuisine, or as if it's something special. Or it can be from mother's home, that I remember all the tastes I enjoyed as a child. So along with these tastes, I remember everything that came with it, mother's love, etc. We have to develop a lacking, and that's first of all. If we get into that deeper, then we'll reach a situation where it's as if there's something to enjoy, and in our world there's lots of things, but we don't have a deficiency for pleasures, especially for pleasures that are in the world, but we disregard them, we don't feel them. It's as if we go next to them and we don't pay attention to them. And we're attracted to something up ahead. We think that's the way it is, what we're missing, but it's right beneath our nose. And we don't discover it. Meaning we have to first and foremost teach people how to shape the deficiency, and then we'll feel that we're in a world that's ready and prepared and has all good for us, but we need a vessel. We need a vessel how to receive the filling. Bring something and you'll receive it. And this vessel is the problem. To understand it, to know it, to be sick about it, to yearn for it, that is our work. And apparently in our current state, we're approaching it. Truly the world will be... we'll have everything, there'll be no end of possibilities, and we will just need to learn how to receive from it, under what conditions, what type of deficiency, what conditions we receive from it, the filling, the happiness that is truly in every place that I'm in. It fills everything, but I don't feel it. It's disappearing from me through the air, and I don't feel it. But rather, everything depends on deficiency. So the question is, instead of asking about happiness, the question is about the taste, the deficiency for happiness. But still, we'd like to understand taste for what? What is happiness? What is this happiness that we're searching for? We see in all kinds of cultures, it's different. It's not one thing. Why in one culture is happiness the Ferrari and the villa, and in another culture, I know happiness is dancing around a fire. We spoke about it before, but how will I know what this happiness is if it's different in each place? I don't know it. What it is in an objective manner. There's no happiness, other happiness except subjective for each and every person. None of us is the same as the other. We're still different in some manner. And the fact that we're different, if I receive exactly like you receive, but if I receive what you received, I still won't have happiness because I'm looking for that perfect eternal happiness that never stops, and I'll have the security that it won't stop, and I'll have the escalating tastes all the time, and I'll have this more and more yearning increasing while I'm enjoying more and more, that the filling will cause more deficiency and the deficiency will cause more filling, and they go hand in hand. And in this way, that despite them going together, connected, the deficiency I feel before the filling, otherwise I won't have any taste. In other words, there's some additional elements to feel happiness that we need to get into them in depth to feel that before I taste, if I feel pain, it's not happiness. If I feel that it's in at my hand's reach, whether it's good or not for the development of the deficiency, if I'm putting it in my mouth, only then I need to feel the deficiency. Does the deficiency come with the filling? Does it have to be before the filling, or I feel the filling in my mouth, and this filling develops inside me the deficiency? There are many, many, many verifications here that maybe we'll speak about how much we can open them up and develop them to the public, many observations, discernments, everything I'm speaking about. We're going to reach a simple solution. The deficiency is the problem. Therefore, I see in our world, in the state that we're in today, it's really a good time. Because according to the situation today, we can say that the world and people are going up a stage. They're going up precisely. They're despaired from the previous state where they filled themselves with food, family, money, intelligence, and they feel that this entire vessel, this entire great deficiency that a person lives with, they feel it as going bankrupt. And what will be next? Apparently something completely different. And this new world has to be revealed to us now. But it will be revealed only according to how much we will analyze correctly and build this deficiency and on our own. All the previous generations, this deficiency came from nature and pushed us to develop where we first had the deficiency. I want this, I want that, maybe this, maybe that. And suddenly, I'm a villager in a village. I got from my father some donkey, some piece of land. I got married. I built a home. I have kids. I continue working the earth. Suddenly, no, I want something else. Suddenly, this happened. Hundreds of years have gone by until we feel the new deficiency. And this deficiency from a person is born from this inner engine, this evolutionary engine that develops us. And now we've reached a situation, and then we need to add, and then in those days we weren't despaired. I felt I finished one deficiency, to have a house, a home, a piece of land, a wife, children. And now I want to continue to something new. A new deficiency is developing. I'm not suffering. I don't have a lack of options. I'm not searching. I'm maybe searching how to implement the deficiency, but I'm not searching after the deficiency. I'm searching for filling. Where can I want to know something. I want to learn something. So I already have a deficiency. It's being revealed in me, or to some new profession. So we need to go look for it. But now, for the first time, we're in a situation where this engine is not pushing us forward, but it's leaving us in some cliff. It's bringing us to a place and leaving us there. It's leaving us hanging. This engine is leaving us like that. Do whatever you want. For the first time in history, we need to ourselves begin to verify what deficiency I should equip myself with. And previously in our development that came to us from nature, we didn't ask that. We simply developed. And therefore, all the stages that we developed through, you can see them truly as in a curve like this, evolutionary curve. And today, for the first time in history, we're talking about the vessel, the deficiency that we need to look for. First of all, what's it worth it for me to want? That's the question. So these eternal questions about enjoying, what to advance toward, it's a completely different question in our time. In our time, I choose what I should yearn for, what kind of filling, what it's called happiness for me, because previously happiness was dictated to me by nature. If you be this, if you be a soldier, this profession, a scientist, if you're rich, if you'll be a star, a movie star, you'll be happy. In other words, it was clear to me through all kinds of enticements around me what it's worth yearning for. Today, the environment doesn't give me those same enticements. It doesn't give me a deficiency like you're using in the meantime. Let's go skiing. Let's go bike riding. Society is still confusing people to sweeten these things, but truly, we're in a situation today where we need to verify, first of all, what's it worth it to us to yearn for in the end, what I should receive filling from. Therefore, our situation is completely, completely new, and it didn't exist before in our development and history. Now we're reaching a situation where I, myself, have to sort of build a deficiency that I think what kind of deficiency it has to be according to how I'll live. I'm apparently becoming an upper force to myself. If once upon a time we received from nature, from the upper force, the nature that's advancing us, you can say God, divinity and geometria, and God, nature, it doesn't matter, we received it, right? So if we received it in the past that force building us and shaping us, we got all the deficiencies, and that's how we attained filling. And each time he advanced us to a new deficiency, and we ran to more fillings. Today, it's like there's no hands but directing us, pushing us. We don't have that anymore. We ourselves have to be as God to ourselves. This is a very, very special situation. It's a very delicate situation that today we choose also our forces of development, the trends of our development. Today a person has his free choice. What he's going to develop toward, as if evolution has ended. So from this point onward, we're only going to be called a person. Up until now, we developed as creatures through our deficiencies that we had that are awakened in us. But at the end of the day, these deficiencies are revealed in us from themselves, apparently. Today, we're also in charge of that. Today, we are shaping ourselves. And here is truly a new degree, a new way of relating to life, to our development. Today, if we begin shaping ourselves, we'll be a person that is similar to God, we'll be similar to nature, similar to that force, meaning we're getting deeper into the previous stage where we got the Rishimot and urges how to develop. And in accordance with that, we're raising ourselves to a higher level. From the level where we are, we're going down one stage in verifying the deficiencies and desires, in shaping them, and we're rising to a higher degree to fill them. And here, therefore, when we ourselves shape also the deficiency and also achieve its filling, that's called happiness. Therefore, here we can shape these things in such a manner that they don't disappear, because this and that, it's in our hands, and then we can truly reach the eternal happiness. We hope it's ahead of us. So first of all, it's encouraging that you say we can reach eternal happiness. Well, we're at the end of the show. I have to give you a happy end. But it really feels like something that we have to learn and practice, and not something that happens in a moment. But it explains many things that you said, why despite all the attempts we make and all the abundance we have that we see in the world, the trends of depression are just increasing, and psychology doesn't know what to do with that. The psychologist is good at helping people, being in the meantime, to not lose life in the meantime. Otherwise, people would commit suicide. And it really says that today, happiness is not just a matter of luxury. It's a matter of life and death. It's something that's really important to us to attain. We don't need these corporal fillings. We have everything, another shmata, another rag to put on our body. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the emotional filling. So we're getting close to the end. Let's make a summary. The goal of our first discussion was to define what happiness is. And if I ask myself what I understood from everything we learned today, then I would say that we're living in a world that has everything, has abundance, but we're not hungry for anything, and therefore we don't feel happiness and pleasure in all the good things around us. Did I understand up till now? Yes. And then again, I put this. So what is happiness in accordance with this reality where we have everything but we don't want anything and therefore we don't enjoy anything? A person can be happy today if they have a deficiency. If I have an appetite, if there's something that I want, the term adrenaline, do you understand? Action, you understand that I want something, that I'm in yearning for it. First of all, I want this, that my eyes are on fire, life is worth living. That's what I want, first of all. Can you buy it? I'm buying it. I don't want happiness. It's disgusting. I don't know what. I want to have action. I want to attain something. I want that. That's the feeling of life. Today it's felt more than ever that the feeling of life is in running after something. If my soul is running after something, that's the greatest feeling, that a little bit more. Why do people buy a motorbike and they go down the street? What do they get from it? He's attracted to it. This feeling of inner tenseness, that you're heading towards something, that's the most important thing. This happiness is not in filling yourself, but rather that you're in yearning for filling, precisely. Did you love someone once? Yes. Do you remember our talks about love? When do you feel the love? When you have something in front of you that's far off, that's not so much in your hand's reach, but you have this inclination. That's what gives you life, that feeling of happiness. We need to talk a lot about this issue of deficiency and filling, what we actually fill ourselves with, not what we apparently thought beforehand. And that's why it says not just by bread itself a person will live. Okay, that was our first fascinating talk. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal Mandelbaum. Thank you, and let's take our homework. What should we want in life? What should we yearn for? Until next time, all the best. New life.